speaking to you last week how that God likewise had made known unto Noah that he was to bring a flood of waters upon the earth, and he commanded him to build an ark. And Noah, in obedience to God, began to build this ark, and according to Scripture, he must have labored nearly 120 years making this ark. And now the time was finished, the ark was finished. And now God says unto him in the first verse, "Come thou into the ark, thou and all thy house, for thee only have I found righteous before me in this generation." We have here a wonderful invitation to Noah. Noah was told to come into the ark. Noah, he had been speaking unto the people for 120 years, preaching and telling them that God was going to destroy the world that then existed. And his preaching and his teaching fell upon deaf ears. They made a mockery of it, they laughed at it, they scorned at it. And now God has borne so long with these people, 120 years. And now the time for God to show forth his wrath and his anger upon this generation was come. And he calls to Noah so that he should enter into the ark with his whole family. The invitation was so wonderful, for he was the only one that God had found righteous before him in that world of sinners that then existed. Oh, my hearers, what a wonderful blessing to be found righteous before God. None of us can be found righteous before God in ourselves. The word teaches us no one is righteous, no, not one. Noah was found righteous in the righteousness of Christ. He was a justified man, and he had lived upon this earth under the guidance and teachings of the Spirit of God, and had been an obedient man unto God. The Bible says, and Noah walked with God. Hand in hand, Noah walked with God here upon this earth. Oh, I wonder if you feel jealous of such a person that we read of. What a mercy to be chosen by God and to be able to walk with him in this life, and when we come to die, to be taken up to be with him. Noah, he was then in this respect the only man upon the earth. Amidst how many millions of people lived then, Scripture doesn't say, but he was the only one that was found righteous before God. All the others were sinners, and great sinners in the sight of God. And Noah now was commanded to enter into the ark with his whole family, with his three sons, with his wife, and with their wives. This being, a child of a godly parent, proves out of the Scripture what a blessing this is. For it was because of Noah that his sons and their wives were spared. There was one found bad. That was Ham. After the flood, we find that Ham turned out to be a bad man. And now there are bad in no matter how great of a family there may be, there are always good and bad. No matter what society, no matter what church you may be in, there are good and there are bad. But it proves that if we may be a child of godly parents, God even for their sake, spares many a wicked son and many a wicked daughter. Of these sons of Noah, they were nearly 100 years old, and none of them had any children. They were married, but no children. And now they were commanded to go into the ark too. So this proves what God instituted, he kept, even when this was going to take place, this extraordinary judgment upon the world. When he created Adam and brought Eve to him, he said, "These two shall become one flesh." But this family was to be the beginning of a new world of creatures after the flood. There was no necessity of polygamy. In other words, in having more than one wife. God did not institute that, although many of the patriarchs and many of the children of God had many wives, as you may read of the kings of David and of Solomon especially. But this was not under the blessing of God. And it was not necessary to bring forth a great multitude, for God could do this with the few wives that these sons had. They then also, with Noah, were to go into the ark. God commanded Noah to separate the clean beasts, the clean animals, from the unclean. And he was to take 7, male and female, and they were to enter into the ark with him, and also 2 of the unclean, male and female, of every species that was upon the earth. Now, it was God that caused these animals to come before Adam to receive a name. So when God caused Noah to take these animals into the ark, it was God that led these animals, every species that he had made, to the ark. Where would Noah go to gather all these animals? This was a miracle, probably under the ministration of angels, that brought these animals to the ark. And this, likewise, was a warning to the spectators who seen this miracle taking place, that what Noah had preached unto them for so many years was going to happen. But it made no effect upon them. They had been spoken to for 120 years. They were accustomed to hear Noah preach this way, and it went in one ear and out the other. And now God came to Noah and said, "In 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy every living thing that is upon the earth." When Noah received this message, Noah brought this message to the people. He had been telling them all these years, but now I could see this man. He must have been filled with zeal, filled with fury from God, to proclaim to these people that they had one more week. One more week and the world would be destroyed by a flood. Preaching to them, he probably was like Jonah in the midst of the city of Nineveh. In 40 days, Jonah said to the Ninevites, for the city of Nineveh shall be destroyed. Here we find this man, Noah, proclaiming to the people, within 7 days, and this world shall be destroyed. But this message made no impression either upon the people. But this, what they had been hearing, was nothing new to them. When he began to say that within 7 days, they were so used to hear this, it didn't bother them at all. In general, my hearers, we, while we live here upon this earth, and we are healthy and well, and we hear proclaimed that death is coming, and after death, judgment, how much effect does it make upon us? It's a known fact, the Bible teaches this, and we put it to one side. Oh, we're not near that time that we're going to die. And we know not the hour or the moment of our death. And should any of us in that state become sick, very sick, so sick that the physician says to the person, you've got about 7 days to live. In most cases, it's just the same as with it was with the old world. Their hearts are so hardened by the deceitfulness of sin that it makes no impression upon them. Suppose that this message came to any one of you to the Bible class. 7 days you have to live. How would you accept it? Would it cause you to fear? Would it cause you to say, 7 days and I gotta meet God. I gotta appear before him. I'm afraid, my hearers, that such thoughts probably wouldn't even arise in your thoughts. You would say, well, I don't know whether I should believe this or not. I'll wait and see. So it was with the old world. When Noah proclaimed that in 7 days the world would be destroyed by God by a flood. And Noah, he came then in obedience to God. He entered into the ark with his family. And when he entered into the ark, but then we find that the flood came upon the earth. It is repeated twice in this chapter of Noah entering into the ark with his family. We first have a broad account of him entering in and then the flood came. But later on we have an individual account of him and his sons and their wives and his wives entering into the ark. So this entering into the ark was at the commandment of God. He did not enter in until God said, come. And when he entered in, it is possible it was the last day of the seventh. And he stood probably in the door, speaking to the people and warning them and telling them what was going to happen. But we find likewise that after he had entered in, the Lord shut him and the animals in the ark. The Lord shut the door. Nobody else could open that door, not even Noah. Oh, what this was for Noah and his family. They were shut in under the care and under the mercy and the pity of God. God took care of Noah and his family. And believe me, my hearers, If you are righteous before God and you live righteous before Him in this generation, He will take care of you. He loved Noah. Noah was one of His children. If He loves you, He will most certainly take care of you. Not only take care of you in this life, but He will take care of you for when the judgment shall come down upon this earth. Oh, my hearers, how necessary to seek this God while we are yet here upon this earth. He commands us, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Oh, how many obey this invitation that comes yet to you? It may not come to you anymore. This might be the last time. It was the last time for all the inhabitants of the world at that time that Noah spoke unto them. And after that, the door was shut. The offer of mercy was cut off, forever cut off, for every one of them. So this shutting the door that God did is likewise spoken of in the gospel. When we read of the day of judgment, and we read of the wise and the foolish virgins, how that they, the wise, went in, but the foolish, that they had no oil in their lamps, and they went to buy. And when they came back, they found the door shut. We read in Luke how that the Lord is teaching that they shall knock on the door and they shall say, open up unto us, open up unto us. But the voice from inside of the door shall say, I have never known thee. What an awful thing, my dear. Therefore I entreat you for your soul's sake, for your everlasting welfare, that you should seek while it is yet today, for tomorrow it may be forever too late. Oh, seek to enter in the straight and narrow gate which leadeth unto everlasting life. For then you will be safe for time and eternity. Noah was safe in the ark. God had shut him in. God had instructed him what he should do, what food he should gather into the ark, and likewise what care and maintenance he would have in taking care of all the animals that were in the ark. For they had to be fed, they had to be nourished, and he had a supply of food in his ark to feed them. Now this gathering of the animals into this ark was a miracle. You know, lions are ferocious animals. Tigers are ferocious animals. And when they came into the ark, these animals were very submissive. They were very peaceable. They made no attempt to fight with each other and destroy each other. These animals were under the care and the protection of God. And while they were in this ark, this is the way they were. But once they were brought out of the ark, then they regained what they had before. Their natures had not been changed, but they had been subdued. They had been submissive. And God had brought this upon them. And now when they were let loose after the flood, then they were the same as they are today. Now we can thank God that there were only two of them animals spared when He commanded Noah to take seven of the clean and only two of the unclean. What an awful thing it would have been for humanity to have seven lions with their mates and seven tigers with their mates instead of seven sheep with their mates, or instead of seven cows with their mates. For the animals, they would have multiplied so greatly that they probably would have destroyed mankind. But it was God's wisdom that ordered this and that took care of this. For these animals and Noah and his family were under the guidance and the protection of God. And now, when Noah entered into the ark, then God fulfilled his threatening word, "I will send the rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy every living thing that hath a breath in its nostrils, and all the creeping things on the earth, all the fowl in the heavens, they likewise would die." This rain that started to come down when Noah entered into the ark. We could imagine that these people that had been mocking with Noah and making fun of him and making fun of the ark that he had made, they said, "It always did stop." I've heard that too. When it's rained quite a few days, they say, "It always stopped." That's true, because God has promised that he'll never bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy mankind. But these people, in their mockery, they had said this, and they were waiting for it to stop. But no, the rain did not stop. It prevailed. Then God opened the fountains of the great deep, and God likewise opened the windows of heaven so that the water poured down in torrents, and the earth opened up, and the water came up out of the earth. And the commentary says, when God created the earth, he set barriers for the seas that they would not go over the land. But when this took place, God withdrew the barriers, and the sea started to go over the land. For these people that were living upon the earth, you may see in your mind what an attempt they must have made to get to high places. Some of them probably, they went to the highest tree and climbed up in it. Some of them ran to the nearest and highest hill that was near their home. Some to the highest mountain. But the rain kept coming. It says in the commentary that in India, they have many a cloudburst. And when they have this, the rain just comes down so violently in such torrents that it's nowhere like that in any part of the world. That's the way it rains in India. And so, when God opened the fountains of the great deep and the windows of heaven, there never had been a rain like that before. Never. Oh, what an awful catastrophe this must have been for so many women and children and men. Oh, now it came. Had I but listened. Had I but done as Noah had proclaimed unto me. But no. Now it was too late. Many of these creatures probably, they went to the ark. They climbed on the edge of the ark. Some of them even went up on the roof of the ark. But the waves and the rushing water washed them off and they drowned. There wasn't anything that was alive anymore after this 40-day rain. For the waters became 15 cubits high above the highest mountain. So there was nothing to be seen but water. There was only this ark floating upon the water. Because as the water raised, so it raised the ark up. And the higher the waves went, the nearer to heaven the ark came. Those in the ark, they were safe. But all other creatures perished. All the animals perished. Every living thing. This was God's day of judgment. And this was the day that death triumphed over millions of people, according to the commentary. It probably was upon the earth just as many inhabitants as there is now. Oh, who can fathom this and understand this? So that God in his anger and in his wrath brought this upon mankind and upon the animals. He had created the animals to be servants unto mankind. And now he took away these animals because of the sins of mankind. They perished with them. But there was one thing that didn't perish. What was that? That was the fish. The fish in the sea, you don't read nothing of them. The fish were kept alive. This God spared for mankind. But there was then nothing to be seen. The world was underneath. Oh, my dear hearers, I wonder if you've ever had such love shed abroad in your soul that there was nothing to be seen anymore of this world. There was only one thing that you seen, that was God. And you loved this God, and you walked with this God, and you talked with this God. Oh, what a blessing when the world goes under. And we, found in the ark Christ, may have communion and fellowship with God. This was a wonderful blessing for Noah. Noah was in this ark about a year and 10 days. 150 days the waters prevailed upon the earth. 5 months. Now, the patriarchal year began in September. So Noah had just experienced, before he went into the ark, he had experienced a harvest. And out of this harvest, he had gathered much food into the ark. That was one of the things that God in his wisdom likewise commanded. And Noah, in this ark, had a lot of work. He had to feed the animals, had to take care of them. I thought myself, I wonder where he got drinking water from. Because it was necessary. Can't live without water. But God must have miraculously taken care of these people in this ark. Oh, what a mercy to be under the care of God, my hearers. And now Noah, being in this ark, he probably thought, I wonder if it's going to stop raining. But sure enough, at the end of 40 days, it stopped according to the word of God. And now, for a long time, Noah was in this ark. And probably he had no communication with God. And then we read in the next chapter, and God remembered Noah. Oh, many times, if you're a child of God, sometimes it's such a long time in between that God gives you any realization of his presence, any access to his throne, any sweet communication from above. The church experienced this of old, and they said, the Lord hath forgotten me. Why, God hath forsaken me. Because they haven't had anything special from God in so many months, sometimes years. Noah, he probably was in this condition too. Had God now forgotten him? Had he left him in this ark, just in all this water? No, God remembered Noah. Oh, my hearers, the thief on a cross, he says to Jesus Christ, Lord, remember me. A short prayer. And the Lord remembered him right away. But with Noah, it took quite a long time before he had again a visit from God. The Lord remembered him. It took God 6 days to create the world. It took him 40 days to destroy it. But this, what the whole world went through, is a type of how that God will likewise destroy this world in which we live. For he has said that he would never destroy the world again with the flood, but he would do it by fire. Now, me and you would have said, well, where is all the water going to come from that they were going to destroy the world? And God has everything in his hand, and every instrument he can use, if he wants to destroy mankind. And so we know from history that there are mountains, Etna, Vesuvius, and various other volcanoes, that underneath these subterranean mountains, there is nothing else but fire. And now God has lightning, which many times destroys and makes much damage. With these two, lightning and the fires underneath the ground, it'll be a simple matter for God to burn this earth up. Think of it, my hearers. This is going to take place. This sinking of the old world in the flood is a warning to you and I to set our house in order, that we may not die, but that we may live in that great day when God shall come to take this world and burn it up with fire, when the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and when all mankind that are found outside of Christ shall likewise be cast into that lake of fire and brimstone which burneth forever and ever. Oh, my hearers, if God gives you a little impression that this is his word, this is his truth, this is what is going to take place, oh, I wish that he would bring every one of you upon your knees to seek him yet before that dreadful and that awful day comes. Now is it yet the acceptable time? Now is yet the day of salvation. Oh, seek him, for if you find him, you will find him to be a friend indeed in that great day when he comes into the clouds to judge quick in the dead. I'm sure what I'm speaking to you will come back to you in that day, and you will say, I was invited to come, I was told to seek, and I did not listen, I paid no attention. But then that will come back to you, and it will be your own fault. Give heed, harden not your heart while it is yet today, lest he in his wrath should say that his rest is not for you. There is a resting place in Jesus Christ, who is the ark into which you and I must flee. Oh, flee, my dear Hillers. It is in love that I speak this way. You might think, well, with all my fleeing, what does that mean? It means this, that God sees you on your knees, that God takes particular notice of those who are concerned, who are anxious and desirous to be reconciled with him. He may, in his infinite mercy, witness in your very heart, and may he do so, so that your soul may be saved and may not be found on the left side of Christ in that great day of account. The Lord bless my feeble instruction this afternoon to your immortal soul. That's all.